Land of Light.
In the name of God, the Merciful, the Compassionate. Dear listeners, we wish you all the best. Hope you are ready for the journey to the Land of Light to hear more about the life of the Almighty's last and greatest messenger, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. We pray to God to assist us so that we would be able to make you better informed of each and every one of these episodes. Remember, in the previous three journeys, you became relatively familiar with the life of the Prophet's grandfather, Abdul Muttalib, and found out that through a recurring dream, he realized his mission to unearth the Zamzam well. Thereafter, in the company of one of his sons, named Harith, he fervently started to undertake this job. You also found out that in the meantime, the pagan leaders of the Quraysh tribe tried to obstruct Abdul Muttalib from fulfilling his divine mission. Today, you will hear some more developments linked to the excavation of the Zamzam, the spring that had miraculously gushed out from the depths of the earth millenniums ago when the toddler Ishmael could no longer bear his thirst as the helpless mother Hajar looked on what she believed to be imminent death of her son while the father, Prophet Abraham, peace be upon him, was away in Palestine. Well, first of all, as a reminder, in the terms of narration of this story, you encounter certain features which might be new to you. You should pay further attention to today's episode to make the best of it. Now, are you interested in discovering the new developments in the Land of Light? Let's listen to the rest of the story. Although the air current inside the pit was not as bad as the scorching heat outside, it was still warm, heavy, and suffocating. It seems as though the lungs of Abdul Muttalib had lost their previous stamina and that they were further pressed. His inhaling capacity had seemingly decreased. His breaths were short and hasty, but the growing pressure on his body in fact boosted his spirit. The more the physical hardship of this job, the more he felt he was fulfilling the demands of God of Kaaba. His recurring dream assured him of the righteousness of his mission. Also, his miraculous survival from claws of death in the inhospitable desert had redoubled his faith in his divine mission.
Although several days have passed from that lengthy and exhausting journey, I still feel feeble and shattered. Nonetheless, my state of health is better than that of my companions. Some of my co-travelers felt the fatigue and fell ill for a number of days. The discovery in the well of swords, shields, and a pair of golden statues of antelopes, and an abrupt halt of the excavation of the well as the result of the acts of sabotage of members of the Quraysh tribe, came hard upon me and deteriorated my energy and ability. Prior to going on that imposed journey, I had dug nearly 30 meters. At that time, I could more or less smell dampness. Hence, I enthusiastically carried on with my mission, such that upon my return, I didn't even rest for a day despite the insistence of my wife, Samra, to the contrary.
Thank you.
exhausted Abdul-Muttalib ardently continued to dig the ground. Meanwhile, in order to fight back tiredness, he repeated his previous day's prayers with a loud voice. His son Harith, who stood under a small straw shade next to the well, slowly accompanied his father in his prayers.
God Almighty, I responded to the instructions of the one who commanded me and took strides like a man who maintains a strong faith in you. Now my son is assisting me and is happy to do so. He doesn't complain over the hardships that he takes. O God, please fulfill our aspirations because I cannot do anything other than fulfilling your righteous demands.
His voice resembled the sound of crackling streams. Harith was spiritually boosted and could therefore easily bear the sweltering heat. It was close to noon and the crowd gradually left the balconies which surrounded the holy Kaaba. Also, the Quraysh tribal leaders started to pack up their straw shades.
In the past few moments, I had realized that the ground underneath my pickaxe had softened. The change of the sound of collision of my pickaxe to the ground proved my thought. All of a sudden, I sensed I was digging sand instead of heavy and compact mud. To be certain, I kneeled and felt the ground with my hands. I was not mistaken. It was sand. So I realized that the job was nearly done.
Abdul-Muttalib dealt quicker blows on the ground with his pickaxe. Meanwhile, Harith, each time, emptied the sack of soil while taking out the earth from the pit that his father was digging. Suddenly, it seemed as though the pickaxe had hit a hard object. Abdul-Muttalib slowed down the blows. A large, thin and smooth stone that was cut by man sprang out of the soil. Particles of sand fell down in the water with the heavenly sound of a heavy thud. The long days of despair and expectations were over. Divine blessings were once again bestowed upon Mecca. Concerns over the annual supply of water for pilgrims were dispelled. Those recurring dreams had come true. Abdul-Muttalib, at this moment of rejoicing, loudly chanted Allahu Akbar, or God is the greatest. His voice reverberated throughout Mecca, such that the passerby stood still. They started to rush toward the place of sacrifice and approach Harith. To their surprise, the Zamzam well was discovered. Finally, the son of Hashem had unearthed the fabled Zamzam well. A number of people rushed toward the market and the city's different quarters to inform others of the rediscovery of Zamzam after four generations.
This story dates back to several decades ago. I had just started digging Zamzam well while 9 elderly members of the Quraysh tribe had opposed me, leading me to go on that near-fatal journey. As we survived death in that dry desert, my companions came to their senses and apologized to me. I hoped they would let go of me thereafter, so that I could do my job. This was the case during the initial days of my return to Mecca. I was saddened by the wasted days, which was the result of the tribal leaders' stubbornness, and I always thought if I had the number of sons, they would not have dared to stand up against my righteous remarks. The fact of the matter was that they imagined I was lonesome and unsupported. In the meantime, a treasure was discovered.
The shattered Abdul-Muttalib whispered his previous prayers while digging the ground. It was warm and he was soaked in sweat. The large drops of sweat poured down from his forehead and passed through his eyebrows, pushing their way toward his eyes. Every now and then, Abdul-Muttalib was forced to lean his axe next to his leg to clean up drops of sweat on his forehead with his sleeves or his wrist.
O God Almighty, please fulfill our wish.
The hands of Abdul-Muttalib stood still. He realized that the tip of the pickaxe had hit a metallic object.
What could this be? Harith, my son, please throw down the sack.
The sack was lowered. Abdul-Muttalib filled it up with sand to send the sack upwards. Now he could realize what he had hit. A small section of a black-colored metal had come out of the sand. Abdul-Muttalib, with softer blows, tried to clean up the surface of the metal object. It seemed that the ground was dog-easier than the past. An ancient shield, which had gone opaque throughout the years, sprang out. Abdul-Muttalib rejoiced upon this discovery. This was another sign showing that he was on the right path. His spirit was boosted. He asked his son Harith to throw down the sack. Harith, who had realized the change in the tone of voice of his father, felt that a major development was due to come. He obeyed his father's demand fervently. Harith shouted and rejoiced upon viewing the discovered shield, which was covered with soil. His scream drew the attention of those who had gathered round him and were making myths over the journey of Abdul-Muttalib and a number of Quraysh tribal leaders to Sham. All of a sudden, heads turned toward the opening of the ditch. Upon spotting the shield, they all rushed toward Harith.
Ancient shield, it has remained almost intact after all these years.
It is also well preserved. It's certainly made of pure steel. Otherwise, it would have rusted by now.
It certainly dates back to the era of rule of Khazayan over Mecca. If I'm not mistaken, the son of Hashim has discovered the treasure.
Harith, throw down the sack.
Yes, father.
A shield, 6 crescent-shaped swords made of steel, and 2 golden statues of antelopes were unearthed, leading to a crowd of people gathering next to the well. Soon upon hearing this news, the leading figures of Quraysh tribe and the passerby were destined for the courtyard of the Kaaba. It was so packed that Abdul-Muttalib was forced to shout for his son to able to hear him. The crowd passed on the shields and heavy golden statues of antelopes. At times, skirmishes broke out among the crowd over the discovered items. Thereafter, the tribal leaders exchanged views over the possession of the unearthed items. They all addressed Abdul-Muttalib, so he was forced to once again leave his job unfinished and to come out of the well. Hisham Mughira, who tried to somehow hide his anger, said,
Abdul-Muttalib, we previously allowed you to solely have the honor of re-digging Zamzam well and fulfilled it, but this is a different story. You should divide this treasure among members of the Quraysh tribe.
For years, none of you made an effort to redig Zamzam well. And now that I have carried out this job, you all make claims. Now that the treasure has been found, you want a share of it. Haven't you forgotten the age-old Arab tradition which notes whoever unearths a treasure possesses all of it?
But Zamzam well belongs to all of Quraysh and whatever treasure found in it.
Your words don't convince us. We want our share. Calm down. Calm down.
This treasure should be divided among us.
Dear listeners, we have come to the end of our today's episode. We will listen to the rest of the story next week. God bless you and goodbye.